cowboy noises. Thank you for coming. Wait, no. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where my co-host and I randomly select a game, generally obscure, 20 years or older, that you choose and put into our random wheel of retro, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash, or maybe just have some fun messing up the intro along the way. I am your host, B. Silicon Valley Ross. And to my right is...
I'm your juggling bear, Mr. Miller.
Juggling bear. More like dancing bear. Shout out to anybody who gets that reference. Super Garbage Bowl's underway. We finished...
Did you say Super Garbage Balls?
No, balls. Super Garbage Balls is definitely going to be my wrestler name if I ever become a backyard wrestler again. Super Garbage... What would my intro song be?
What was that song that you came up with?
Oh, Power These Nuts?
Yeah.
I don't need monkeys. I don't need shrimp. You don't need a credit card to ride this pimp. It's rough and it's funny. It's quick and it's fast. But it may just eat your ass. That's the power of these nuts. That's the power of these nuts. Can you feel it?
Super Garbage Bowl is on the way. We played the first eight. Then we got to play the other eight. And then we're going to give you our, we're going to break down some of our, who we think should win the first round. I think they can do all that in one episode, to be honest.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think it's going to take as long as I initially thought. As well as we play them all, then we kind of have a good idea of at least what happened in the first overall round of what's good, what's bad, and you know what's bad wins. Stickers have all been mailed out. So far, I think most people who were involved in the Super Garbage Bowl, they were going to get a free pack of stickers from us. And I think they've all been shipped out. If not, if you A, haven't received your stickers and you've contacted me with your address, let me know. Or B, if you were a part of the Super Garbage Bowl as a person entering it from our Patreon and you forgot to give me your address, let me know. Or C, you don't have to do any of that because maybe so we don't live in a time where you just willy-nilly give people your address. But for the record, I just throw it away because I had to ask some people I've already sent stuff to what their address was again. So I'm on Twitch every week playing the first impressions of the game. I think I've got a time and date now. I think it's solidly going to be Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard. That works for me. I know we have other people in our community that stream, and I noticed that it was kind of like we were streaming at the same time, and I think we both prefer to like be in each other's stream. So I think Tuesday 5 p.m. works. That's it. So the game that's drawn every week, we will be streaming by we, I mean me and my balls.
And that is 5 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, Pacific Standard Time, because we do this from Hawaii. Aloha! Did we mention we moved to Hawaii? So as you can tell by my shirt. To be fair, I'm dressed like I'm a
you look like you live at Margaritaville.
I look like I am a roadie for a boy band.
<That's> gross.
So I look like the biggest Billy Madison fan in the world. It is laundry day is why. So don't hate. Just, you know, embrace the Bahama Mama. I think it's actually a Bahama Mama shirt. No, it just says beanies. Okay, it's not even close. What does it say? I can't read it.
Bon Air.
Yeah, this shirt gives me a real raging Bon Air. Bon Air. All ages podcast, everybody. Anytime I'm on Twitch, I will put that on YouTube. If you miss the stream, just jump over to youtube.com. You know that address, and then put in Super Garbage Day Podcast, and you can catch all of those VODs. And I believe that's it. So let's get to our retro question of the week. This one comes from Banjo Kaczynski, who I think this was his game this week that we were reviewing.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
And they ask, what's the weirdest non-horny game you've ever played or seen?
Oh, okay. Weirdest non-horny game. Boogerman's up there. That was a bizarre one.
Yeah, Boogerman doesn't give you a bonar.
A bonar? No.
Boogerman is weird.
I think that's probably I'm sure I've seen weird. Oh, Katamari Damacy.
It's pretty weird.
Is pretty out there too.
Yeah. I played a couple games that were so bizarre that I don't even remember their names. So I'm going to try to describe the weirdest one I played. And if anybody out there listening knows what it is, feel free to jump in the Discord and let me know, because I don't remember what it is and I'm not going to look it up. But by the way, all these links I just was talking about will be in the show notes. There'll be one big link there. So that's how you find everything. And the Discord's free, by the way. But this game is, you are a fish who is, I think, about to be chefed. And then you fall down a hole and it's like kind of PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2-ish graphics. You're third person, you flop around in what seems like the inside of an afterlife.
Okay.
You come across, I think, these other fish that are there and they're happy to be there. Then there's a section, I think, where you talk to one of the fish's mouth. I think it's like the head of a salmon. He opens his mouth. And the tongue is one of those beetle things that eats the tongue and becomes part of the fish.
Oh,
and he puts on
isopods.
Puts a top hat on and a cane and sings a song. And then you continue down this path until you eventually reach like the intestines. And then you choose one of two directions. And either way, you just die.
Weird.
Also, my other answer is Bad Mojo.
Oh, Bad Mojo was so, Bad Mojo was out there.
If anybody knows that fish game I'm talking about, I played a long time ago and I don't know, remember the name whatsoever, or if it even exists. That might be a fever dream.
It sounds like a fever dream.
Yeah. So there's your answer to the retro question of the week. If you want to submit a retro question of the week, it is, you're able to do that in our Discord under the retro question of the week tab or chat room or whatever it's called on Discord. What are they, chats?
Yeah.
Sections? Tabs? I don't know. I'm so old. Yeah. And it's free. You can go in there and just dump a bunch as you want. Dump a bunch as you want.
Just keep on dumping.
Just keep on dumping. We're running out, actually. We've almost gone through them all. So, all right. Now it's time for the new section of the show, which last week I messed up and did in the middle of the show, which is, what are you playing?
I'm still playing BattleBit, dude.
You're still playing BattleBit?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fine. I mean, damn, that speaks volumes of how fun that game is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got more people joining us.
Okay. I need to jump. I haven't bought it yet though. I gotta wait. I hit that summer sale a little hard, so I had to.
Oh, did you?
So I had to, you know, I gotta watch my finances and, but I that's definitely in my crosshairs.
Yeah, because I'm also in that. Gotta watch my finances because I'm moving again and.
Yeah, you're moving in a couple days.
Yeah.
To a whole new city, whole new world.
Yeah, I had to get my car re-registered today.
Oh, wow. Which
sucked.
That sucks. Yeah.
Especially because they're like, oh, you need to get an emissions test because you're moving to Portland. I'm just like, just register it under my current address.
I didn't know you had to smog your car in Portland.
Yeah, wow. Apparently.
Okay.
But so I'm just going to still be registered down here.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
I do that as long as you can.
Yeah.
As long as you can get away with it. Okay, BattleBit. I've started playing the sequel to Ori and the Black Forest. The Black Forest? Ori and the Blind Forest, which is called, it's Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Okay.
I need to do a review of the first one because I completed it. And spoiler alert, I loved it. So I bought the sequel, but
the one I'm holding out for is Blasphemous 2.
Oh yeah, I still gotta play Blast. So many games I gotta play. So many games, so little time. If I can just get rid of this garbage man job and just do this for a living, I can play all these
all
games.
The games ever.
Hear that, everybody? Make the dream happen. We love you for it. All right, so this week's game came from our Patreon pool, as every game every week does now. And that game was Space Station Silicon Valley on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah!
Space Station Silicon Valley is a platform video game. I would actually not call it a platform, but platform video game developed by DMA Design and published by Take-Two Interactive. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Okay. It was originally released for the N64 in October 1998. An adaptation of the game for Game Boy Color, or was my whistle, by the way, was developed by Tarantula Studios and released in 1999. Nobody cares. A PlayStation port, which was god-awful.
Yeah.
Was developed by RuneCraft.
I looked into that PlayStation port.
I couldn't believe it. was released in 2000 under the name Evo's Space Adventures. Players control Evo, a robot reduced to a crawling microchip after a ship crashes, and are tasked with taking control of animals to solve puzzles and defeat enemies. And why I just said I don't consider it a platform video game is because I personally consider it an puzzle platformer game. But maybe, I don't know if you agree with me on that.
I mean, it's got platforming elements. I mean, it plays like a Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, but...
But janky.
Not as much... Not as the collect-a-thon's not there exactly.
Like, no, it's all objective driven.
Let's get into first impressions. Okay, so I fired up this game. Immediately, I had like technical issues with it. I was not playing the actual cart, even though I used to own this cart. I never played it though because I used to have like almost the entire N64 collection. There was like I only played like the five heavy hitters on it, but I did find out that apparently this game had a really bad glitch.
So I was actually going to talk about this because
well, this would be a good time for the first impressions.
It's if you're trying to play it on original hardware,
right,
you have to have the original jumper pack installed and not the expansion pack,
right?
Because there's some sort of code that will make it freeze in the opening cutscene.
Yeah.
And then if you just skip that opening cutscene, it will not load the first level.
Interesting.
But so if you have a save file that has other levels unlocked or you unlock them via cheat codes.
Right.
Then you can play the game, but you can never play that first level.
And of course, the N64 expansion pack was something separate you had to buy. I remember that when they sold
that. To play only two games.
What was it? Donkey Kong 64 and
Majora's Mask. Or to play multiplayer on Perfect Dark,
or to just make you feel like your N64 is faster even though it's completely
it did have some quality of life things, like increased frame rates in some games.
I mean, I had it when I had a 64.
It could extend your draw distance in like other games.
Was this the only game that had this problem?
This is the only one that has this issue.
Interesting. Well, when I was loading up the ROM, it didn't work the first time, which I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, the ROMs, you got to have a very specific ROM, too.
It's a very specific apparent emulator as well.
Yep.
So, yeah. Kind of hard to play this game, no matter which direction you go.
I didn't get a lot of time with it because of these issues.
Yeah, I got put in a pretty good amount of time, enough to give it like a solid review, I think.
I mostly just did research.
Yeah, so. which is actually an interesting game.
Yeah.
This company's interesting. As if you don't know, if you haven't listened to our episode on Body Harvest, this company was commissioned to make three games, I think, for the N64 and maybe the PlayStation. They went on DMA Design, is what we're talking about. They went on to end up becoming Rockstar North, who were responsible for all the best Grand Theft Auto's and Red Dead.
It's so funny because like playing some of these early games, it's just like, come on, how did you guys let this code slip through?
And you then see you, it, right?
And then you become like one of the biggest developers of all time. Well, now we've played,
I don't know what their third game was. I don't think it ever came out on N64. Like, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong here. My research may be faulty here. But I thought they had a third game they were supposed to make, and it never came to fruition. But I do know they did Body Harvest, and they did. Yeah, I might want to look that up because
I'm going to do a quick Google.
I really don't know if that's right, but I recall that in my research that their third project got canceled, and I think it was like, remember we did the Body Harvest episode and how much drama they had with Nintendo?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's true, but. I think I read something that actually contrasted and conflicted with that. So that's why I'm wondering. Anyways, DMA Designs is like, they created these engines that are really clear in both this and Body Harvest. By the way, these names sound like they should have been the other way. They went to the wrong games.
Right. I would
have totally called Space Station Silicon Valley Body Harvest because it totally fits. Oh, well, I'm getting my first impressions while he's looking this up. So, fire up the game. You can check it out on our YouTube channel.
They did Lemmings.
They did Lemmings?
Yeah.
Lemmings 64? Is that even real? Or just Lemmings? Oh, they did it prior. Yeah, yeah.
They did all of the
I think we went over that in the Body Harvest episode. But I fired it up, and immediately I thought, like, when I got it to work, I thought it was really funny. Like, it was goofy from the get-go, but I was like, how do I skip this intro? I felt like I had to sit through this ridiculously long intro. I wasn't trying to skip it the first time I was watching.
Press and hold start.
I know. But I watched it the first time. Obviously, I'm doing a first impression of it and playing it to review it. But after I kept firing up to replay it, I was like, I didn't realize like the last time I played it that you just hold start, you can get past it.
So there were three N64 titles planned.
Yeah.
It was Body Harvest, this one, and then a game called Attack, which was like a caveman game.
Oh, so they never did
but come. But it never got released. Oh. It was announced in 1999 and never got released.
So I'm curious if the whole Body Harvest drama was the whole...
That was probably the straw reason that broke the camel's back. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want to hear all about that, check out our episode on Body Harvest. But yeah, so then this team went on to make quite possibly the most successful series.
I mean, right now,
money wise,
right now it is still, I mean, because GTA Online is just printing dollars. Yeah. Like,
well, and they haven't made a new one in 10 years.
Why would they? People are still just,
man, there's business,
buying those shark cards.
You know what though? This is what makes me mad as a gamer, man. This is why we do this show, or at least this is why my heart's in it, because we like to go over the days when people were actually trying new things and struggling, and there wasn't so much business bullshit in it. And now there is. Ever since, I think retro gaming stopped when microtransitions started. Because yeah. I know retro gaming just means the time period and how long ago it was, but for me, like my age range, like I look back at 15 years and back.
The innocence of the gaming industry.
And the risks people took.
Yeah.
They don't take those now.
No.
It's
no.
Only the indie developers.
How can we sell you skins and...
Oh, it's just... And box, loot boxes. Oh, my God. And sell you unfinished games that need to be patched a week later.
It's so funny that... and gamers are doing it to themselves because now, like, that loot box has kind of got... taken away and it's all battle passes.
I know. Everyone's like, find some stupid
give me the loot boxes back, that was better.
But these companies always try to find a way to just game the system, no pun intended, and I'm sick of it. It's like corporations took the heart out of video games. At least Nintendo for the most part still has their heart in it, even though they're kind of pricks to their fan base. But correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they've released any games under their moniker, and by moniker I mean like their development team, that came out half-ass and needed to be patched.
No, they're always complete polished games.
Yeah, yeah, they will delay their games, right? So, but to me it's sad to state that, and we're sick of it. I mean, I'm sick of seeing this happen. I think a lot of the people now that in the youngest generation that are gamers, I hate to be this old guy's like, you guys didn't realize how fun it was.
Right?
When they think Fortnite battle packs are the like that, they're just getting all they're getting now is the accumulation of people and corporations taking every little bit and piece of what was addictive from video game history and just trying a way to monetize it. You know,
see, say what you will about CD Projekt Red. I know how people felt about the Cyberpunk release and all that.
Cyberpunk?
I might have.
That was a great.
What is that called?
Freudian slip.
Freudian slip, yeah.
Cyberplunk. But I won't be surprised if it's Cyberplinko soon.
But they always at least release a full game.
Yeah.
And when they do release DLCs, the DLCs are full games.
Dude, I feel some drama out about that. That's a rabbit hole to get into, the Cyberpunk rabbit hole, because apparently there's a lot of pressure.
It was also because they were developing it in tandem. They were doing the PC
right
and all the ports at the same time, which was a bad idea.
And they had a very strict deadline.
It was the investors, man. They really kind of ruined them because they were riding the coattails of the success of Witcher 3.
And they also brought on Keanu Reeves to also think put pressure on them, because they probably gave Keanu Reeves these promises for signing on to the project. So they're like, so you got to meet these deadlines because now we have this mega star.
Which is funny though, because he probably would have just given all of the money back to the developers.
He wouldn't care.
He does that all the time.
He's nice. Yeah. He's just a good human.
He didn't make any money on the second Matrix movie because the, all the, like the stunt teams and stuff weren't getting paid right.
Man, if you look into his history, like after he lost his wife, I believe.
Yeah.
Dude,
his wife and his kid,
he went the right route of dealing with trauma.
Yeah.
Like he made it, he became completely selfless. But anyways, welcome to Keanu Cast. Yeah.
We love you, Keanu.
So yeah, that's your first impressions. What's your first impressions?
Well, immediately,
Did you know about this game before it got picked?
No.
I didn't either, other than I knew I owned it, but only for collector's sake.
That's why
I never played it.
Last episode, when it was announced and I looked it up, I was like, ooh, you're like, buddy. Oh, God.
Yeah. Because if you just look it up, you're like, what is this? It almost looks like a Play School game, right? Uh-huh. Like, Fisher Price.
I thought we were getting into Tonka trucks again, like,
oh, Construction Zone.
Yeah.
Oh.
But once you boot it up and you get like the humor and the art style,
yeah,
it really feels like almost like a Wallace and Gromit thing.
I got a Conkers kind of feeling from it initially. I was like, okay, so this is something that's clearly aware of itself and is not entirely for children.
Yeah. And you know, the music is fun and quirky.
We'll get there. Yeah.
Well, that's still my first impression. That's
true. Sorry. You're right.
Once you get into a mission, it's just like, okay, this is kind of a bop. Like
I said I literally said that sentence in my first impression. I remember sitting hearing the music and being like, it's kind of a bop.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. It's got the game. My first impression sounds like similar to yours, where at first I was like, this is kind of unique. This is kind of different, even though it's not, it's reminding us of other things, but it didn't seem, it was not what I expected it to be.
Right. Britishness were shown through real hard.
Oh, the British humor was there right from the get go, but I'm okay with that. I appreciate some mm-hmm. Monty Python. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, let us talk about the gameplay, because I think this is going to be important. So gameplay time. How do you feel about the gameplay in Silicon Valley Space Station?
I mean,
said backwards. My favorite game.
Your better title.
I'm going to be honest right here. I hate the name of this game. This game should have been called Body Harvest. But
or something on the, yeah.
That name is weird, man.
It's very weird.
It's, I don't know if that's part of the British humor, but yeah. Anyways, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead. Yeah.
So I mean, it's fairly simplistic gameplay. It's a lot of just the main thing is your computer chip possesses these robot animals.
Yeah.
And they all have their own specific abilities and attributes, and it gives you this whole like spreadsheet of information as soon as you possess a new one.
Yeah, and some people were calling it a possession game.
Yeah,
did you read that?
Yeah, it's a like, and it's not the first
this
game.
This is a genre?
It's not a first game to do this, and this is kind of a genre that doesn't have a lot of titles.
No. I thought it was interesting. I was reading somebody's crazy good review of this in preparation to where they were like, their review was like ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, it's I have my opinion about it, but that they were saying that this is like the evolution of genres, and this
there's some stands for this game for time. Real.
Yeah, but oh, sorry, I interrupted you again. Mm.
But you know, you get, for example, like you have this. There's a sheep character, and you hold a button, and after you jump, and you can float for a limited amount of time.
That's your first character, I think. You start as. Right?
I think it is. It's either that or the dog.
Oh yeah. Well, you can. I guess you can pick either. You can pick
either or. But that's the thing.
But the dog starts right there because they're all apparently robots.
Yeah, and
all the animals.
You have to fight the other animals to kill them, to then basically deactivate them so that you short can
circuit them.
You can possess them, whatever. They're robots.
Yeah. And then you do like a Tony Hawk 360 kickflip into their body.
And you know, some of the animals are better for fighting than others. And some of them,
hell yeah, they
are necessary for puzzle progression. So it's a lot of just figuring out what animal you need for the job.
Exactly.
And or if you're just trying to explore the map and figure out what you're doing, you want to find the fastest animal because there are some slow beasties out there.
Oh, there's some animals that don't even walk. They only jump.
Yeah.
Which I was like, sweet. I like the jump mechanics because it's really high. But the no walking drove me nuts. I was like, I can't move. I hate this. But I feel like that was a part of that puzzle.
Right.
Because to me, the gameplay mechanics feels like it's a possession-based puzzle platformer, multi-vehicle game. And it's funny that this was made by Rockstar, or who became Rockstar North, because it feels like just like how Body Harvest.
It's just jumping out of one car to another.
Yeah. You can feel the car. There's literally helicopter rabbits.
Uh-huh.
There's literally things that feel like there's mice that feel like motorcycles.
There's literally a dog fighting level where
you dog fight
dog planes, and
like it's all there. You're seeing the backbones of what led to like their big engine that made Grand Theft Auto, which is kind of cool. That's what I like going back and playing these games, because this this DMA design company situation, or everything, the history of it, I didn't have any idea about until I played this and Body Harvest. And it's kind of cool to see those backbones, that structure.
Yeah,
behemoth.
You can tell that they were just like, F it, let's go for it.
Well, they were good at, they were really good at one mechanic.
Yeah. Right?
And that mechanic is different vehicles with multi-vehicle and different control schemes in a single game. And a lot. I think there's like 40 animals in this game.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, 40 plus. This game is, it's kind of linear. It has 6 levels. They're all different worlds, or just, you know, quote unquote worlds. They have, I think, 6 to 7 levels each.
I think it's 6 main levels, and then there's 7th, like a bonus. There's a bonus level. Yeah. Yeah.
And you, it's pretty much just, you have to solve. It's, to me, it feels like if Mario 64 was just all puzzles.
That's a very good description.
Cause you know, how there's some Mario 64 levels that are pretty puzzly, mm-hmm. you know, if Mario 64 was just that, that is Space Station, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Like,
the diversity is there though, which, you know, it's interesting. The mechanic is so, I don't think it's ever been done again. I don't think I've seen any, like,
I can't think of another like really good possession game.
Well, that was just the main thing.
There was an arcade cabinet that I, found, but I can't remember the name of it, where you play as a ghost.
Okay.
And you possess the enemies to progress through the level.
That's cool.
So it's like, it's kind of like Metal Slug-esque.
Oh, and you just jump into it.
So like, you know, there's a level in the sewer where,
why does it sound so familiar?
There's like ninjas throwing stars at you and stuff, and you can possess those ninjas.
I guess Kirby too, right?
Kirby kinda.
But it's more of a like consume
and
turn into.
Because you're not actually the creature, you just steal their attributes.
The only other possession game I can think of is this game called Poltergeist on the Sega Genesis, where you it was an old EA title, and EA was good. Where you just try, your whole point of the game was you're a ghost that tries to scare a family out of the house. And you, it's actually really,
that sounds fun.
It's a pretty funny, weird, charming little game, but you possess like all the different things in the house to scare them. So that's the really only other thing I can think of that's close to this.
There is a game that I think it's on the PlayStation Vita and the PS3, like in the PlayStation Store.
The two consoles I never owned played.
But it's called Tokyo Jungle.
Really?
And it's where like humanity got wiped out, and a zoo, all the animals got let loose, and you kind of like swap between animals as you progress through the city.
That'd be a great sequel.
It's almost like it's kind of
spiritual successor.
It's like Pokemon-esque, but okay. Not.
Oh, so you have to collect them?
No, you just,
are you become them?
You become them. Huh. But it's like, you know, you'll be a beagle and you'll get like attacked by hyenas, and you have to fight the hyenas so you can possess a hyena to.
So that's very close to this.
Yeah.
Just to give people an idea of the animals in here, because they have really funny names. And when you possess a new animal, it does this whole like kind of tongue-in-cheek Terminator meets Matrix screen that shows you like, this is it. It's like cod. Here's like the attributes. So swimming, or it's like running, none, swimming, fast.
Yeah.
Like, but to explain to everybody the kind of animals, we have the armed desert fox, the lion, the parrot, the piranha, the pogo kangaroo, the boxing kangaroo, the cannon camel. You've got racing dog, racing fox, racing mouse, racing tortoise, which is funny.
The racing tortoise was hilarious.
Flying dog, rocket fox, elephant, scorpion, sheep, ski husky. Once it's called a springy thing. You got vulture, walrus, and I think my personal favorite was the polar tank. But
bear,
dude, the polar tank was so beefy. It's slow as hell, but it's just, you can't, you're not taking that thing out.
There's also a hippo.
Yeah, there's a hippo.
There's just a regular bear.
There's a camel, gorilla.
There is if you use cheat codes.
There's a hyena biker.
There is if you use cheat codes.
Oh, really?
A juggling bear on a unicycle.
See, that's all I play any game for, is juggling bears and unicycles. that's my demographic, man. Elder millennials love our juggling bears on unicycles and modest mouses.
I kind of do though.
Hey man, that's classic circus comedy, man.
Yeah.
So ultimately this game, you the story is, you're Dan Danger and Evo. Evo is a robot and Dan Danger is like a big chinned, goofy looking space cadet kind of guy.
Yeah.
You crash on a planet after trying to figure out what's up with Space Station, Silicon Valley. And then Evo gets destroyed and becomes just a chip that can walk around like a centipede. And Dan just sits in Dan Danger just sits the whole time and watches you play and gives you commands.
Yeah, he's your mission supervisor, basically.
And I love when you get like go to a new level, the missions are so informal.
Yeah,
it's like bring me furry thing, and I think some of it had cuss words in it too.
Kill all the foxes.
Yeah, it's a or it was like blow the hell out of blank. I was like, wow, okay, they're just dropping H bombs.
Did you play the level where you have to kill all of the speakers because yes, he hated the music?
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up in a graphics audio. I thought that was kind of a quirky thing.
It was just I laughed when I got to that mission.
I thought it was really funny, and there's a. Like I said, there's six different zones, technically five. The final level is not really a zone. It's just a really funny final level. Europe, ice, jungle, desert. So you get your... What's funny is that it's Europe, though. It's
right.
Like, it's like, we're not... It's not just like a regular place. It's like literally Europe. So...
Yeah, they just... Because you could have called it like plains or...
No, grasslands.
Yeah.
But I guess also kind of showing their hand as they're an English developer. Or British... The humor's definitely British. I thought it was funny. I got a kick out of the structure of how the missions were given to you and how like, and I thought it was kind of cool how you didn't have to complete every single level in a world to go to the next one. You only had to complete three.
Yeah.
And then you can move on to the next world. And I think you had to complete at least three or four of every world to get to the last level.
But and you want to complete all of them.
To get a special thing at the end.
Yeah. Well, and also the last level is much easier if
it's
you.
It's supposed to be. That's so funny.
But if you collect all the circuit boards or whatever.
Yeah, like it's weird little like circular circuit board orbs.
You get a better version of Evo at the end, depending on how many you collect.
There's three different types depending on how many you collected. There's like the bronze suit, because at the very end, the last level is Evo just gets rebuilt. And depending on how many of those you collected, your suit's just like one of three levels of being awesome. Bronze, silver, or gold. But in actuality, that last level is a parade where you're just blowing the crap out of everything.
Yeah.
Like you're just you're getting revenge. That's unwarranted.
Right.
And it's really funny. I think that's a great way to end a game. Spoiler alert. But that's ultimately the gameplay. I mean, it's a puzzle game done in a very bizarre way.
You don't have to say spoiler alert. Most of these games are 20 years old. So
yeah, but we never played this game.
Yeah, that's true. But
I tend to make the joke that like, well, these games are old when it's like Wind Waker or like this is a game. I don't know. Maybe we could have sold. This might be somebody's thing, man. Maybe they like Possession.
Well, like I said, there are
Rocket
Wolves. You look it up on YouTube. There are some people like there's a guy streaming it right now. I guarantee you.
Yeah, but there isn't. You know what's weird is I also anytime I get a game or we get a game to play to do for this podcast. Once I play enough of it, I start listening to other podcasts on the game to see like where my views align or misalign, and sometimes I'll bring that into the episode. This game, I found one podcast episode on it.
Wow.
One.
All right.
There were more of the music tracks.
Interesting.
Than available on Spotify than episodes of people reviewing this game. And the only episode I found, and I know there's probably more, but I literally put in Space Station Silicon Valley N64 review under search for podcast and only got one. And it was these two guys tearing it apart. And I didn't think it was really fair. I think that because the whole basis of the show, I think, is to just tear apart games.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, this kind of stretching here. Like, I don't think the game was that as bad as they're making it out to be. But furthermore, that's the game in a nutshell. It's now let's explain what it looks and sounds like.
All right.
Graphics and audio.
I actually have some interesting things about the graphics.
Yeah.
Say.
Let's hear it.
So, this game has it does look like a Wallace and Gromit episode.
Yes.
Or like Shaun the Sheep. That
if you're not familiar with that, look that up.
Yeah, that claymation style.
Buggy-eyed.
Very British claymation style because all of their claymation looks the same.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's all made by the same studio and that's why, but they all have very distinct art style.
Yeah. It's like Tim Burton, right? Like the same.
Because Tim Burton's claymation looks way different than.
Right. But I'm saying that not in the sense of they look like Tim Burton, but you can tell
it's a Tim Burton movie. Yeah.
Movie or production.
He has an aesthetic.
So, yeah, there's a British claymation aesthetic.
What The reason why it looks like that, though, is very interesting because they were going for something different. Because the machines they were programming it on, it's like a vector 69 or something like that.
Nice.
But it had a very like crisp and clean look to it. They were going for this very futuristic robot kind of look. But then when they ported it over to the N64 with the automatic anti-aliasing that the 64 has,
which makes everything look kind of blurry.
Yeah. And all of a sudden it's just like, well, now it looks like clay. And they're just like, run with it. They leaned into it. Yeah.
Yep.
And so then they redesigned what Dan Danger looked like and what Evo looked like.
Yeah. They actually redesigned it practically from the ground up to lean into the N64's limitations.
Exactly.
Which is pretty brilliant. Which is
also why it looks way better than the port for the PlayStation.
Which also why it looks better than a lot of N64 games, mm-hmm. because it was built to work with the N64's hardware.
Instead of trying to fight it.
Instead of adding more fog, mm-hmm. you know, or adding...
Oh, I forget how foggy the N64 era was.
Bro, Turok?
Uh-huh.
I revisited that and I was like, you gotta be kidding.
You can't see anything.
I loved that game when I bought it and I'm like, how did I accept this? Like, this is Fog Town. Like, Silent Hill is an example of what Space Station Silicon Valley did, where they leaned into the limitation. So right. Silent Hill's known for its fog. They even put it on the cover.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh yeah, it's supposed to be foggy. It's
Silent Hill. They had a lore reason for the fog. Yeah. And Turok, I guess, has a lore reason for the fog too.
Oh, yeah. But not the indoor levels.
The indoor levels, that's unacceptable.
And also, to be fair, they have Humvees with like missiles and
right. They have a T-Rex with rocket launchers on its head.
Lore doesn't make up for everything, but I did appreciate they did that. Abysmal port of this to the PS1 is like worth looking up footage of. It is like, it might be like that could have won. That could have been the Iron and Blood Award of the year.
It's so funny.
It's bad.
Like the draw distance on it is like, it's like 10 feet.
Dude, it was like 15 frames per second.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be the other way around, right? Like,
It was on a CD-ROM. It should have been, it should have blown the cartridge out of the water.
But apparently it was different developers.
It was a different developer.
And so they were handed like the bare bones.
RuneCraft.
Yeah. RuneCraft. They were handed the bare bones of this, because at this point DMA dissolved. I think it was like moving on to Rockstar territory. So RuneCraft decided to take it, but they were just given like, I don't know the what would you call it?
I think they were given the blueprints.
A coding package.
Yeah, they were just given the premise.
And they were probably given the game and they're like, all right, make this happen. And they did not do a good job. No. So if you want a good chuckle, look that up. It's called The Adventures of Evo, I believe. Or Evo Space Adventures.
Yeah. Which is also a worse title even than Space Station Silicon Valley.
I'm glad that Grand Theft Auto at least sounded cool. Because their naming of games was not good.
No, it's true.
It's called this Body Harvest.
Although Body Harvest is, even though there wasn't a lot of harvesting of bodies.
No, but that's more of a space station.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyways. Silicon Valley wouldn't work. Yeah, so the graphics audio, the game's ultimately goofy, but it's self-aware. I think that's great.
It's very tongue-in-cheek, too.
It's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing out loud, but I'm appreciating it. I'm not cringing.
Well, I mean, that's British humor for you, too, though.
It's true.
It makes you snort.
I feel like it's dry humor, and it works. I kind of like dry humor when it's done well. This game has a lot of it. Like I said, there's a level where they just want you to destroy all the speakers because Dan Danger is sick of hearing the song it plays in the background.
Speaking of, that's a fun thing about the levels and the music within. The music is I can't remember the right word for it.
Oh, it's that it's term like when it's
diegetic
like,
or something.
I think it's
like
diegetic,
that.
Yeah. Where it's you can hear
it actually exists directions in the world.
Yeah, it's actually a part of the environment.
Yeah.
So the further you are closer,
the space station is actually pumping this music out on purpose. And you
see the speakers.
Yeah.
And they're always like,
and the animals will like bob to it when they're near it. Yeah. And
then your character gets closer or other characters get closer, they'll just start like vibing.
Yep.
And the music is like this acid jazz kind of elevator thing that's not bad. Yep. Like I didn't hate it, and I also wasn't blown away. But I thought it kind of fit perfectly. It
fit the whole theme. Yeah.
It fit the theme pretty
well. But if you don't want to listen to it anymore, you can totally blow those speakers up.
If you have the right creature with
you. And there's no music.
I know.
He just gets rid of it.
Well, it's so funny they added that the other creatures will just dance near it the closer they are to the speakers.
And then there's some levels that don't have speakers. So therefore, no music.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a fun like little addition.
There's developers and to me, I'm not surprised that they would go on to make Grand Theft Auto, which has some of those granular things in it, you know, from the radio stations to like their shops to whatever. There's something about adding an extra level of love and uniqueness to a game that I'm always going to appreciate.
Yeah.
And especially if I don't notice it at first and then I notice it later and I go, huh, well, that's cool. Cause that was the case with the speakers and the music. Like I didn't realize like, they're jamming to the music.
Grooving up.
That's hilarious. And everything in the game is kind of adorable, but also brutal. Like what we're collecting, like heads, like decapitated.
Yeah, that's right. That? Yeah.
I was like, what the hell?
The dead scientists. You gotta go collect their bodies.
And they just say it casually like, don't worry. It's a frozen island or the frozen world. So it doesn't seem weird and morbid, but they're like, yeah, we'll just go collect their heads that have been here. They're gigantic, like awful looking decayed heads. Yeah. And even then I was like, I accept this because the world building of this game being ridiculous and having this overtone of like British humor, I'm sold on it. So yes, now I'm collecting frozen heads of scientists. I'm okay with it. And then, you know, you get a multitude of vehicles like right out the gate, which I think all have their own sound style. All the animals look kind of goofy, but cute.
I love the Penguin King.
Oh dude. Actually, I think all the larger animals, especially like other than the Penguin King, when you come across like the dog, the first time you come across a dog with like missiles or something.
Yeah.
Everything has like the bigger versions or like the more bossy versions of the animals have just a little more character.
I just love them because I finally get to control my army of penguins. Yeah.
Or like if you take control of the ram and the sheep. By nature, all of the sheep follow you. Uh-huh. And I was just beating their asses. Like I was like, oh, get away. I was like, oh no, they just follow me. Okay, yeah. Cool. So I can go here and bait the dog. What's cool is within the gameplay, like you can use there's different ways to beat the objectives, right? You don't have to do the exact, there's only like one or two or three. Right?
Yeah.
But there's other ways to do it. And they're usually visual. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think about this.
Mm-hmm.
So that I found also impressive. It's just a really kooky, unique game. And the graphics and audio, I think, honestly, make it the most unique and kooky. Because the mechanics are already different and unique. But if this game didn't have its look and sound and style, it would just be weird and foreign.
Yeah.
It would just be.
I could see this being pulled off poorly.
Yes. Like, just look at the PS1 port.
Yeah.
That's a version of it pulled off poorly, you know. Which shows the strength of a development team.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually read, I think RuneCraft went on to like go out of business after that. Like, they were done. So
not surprised.
Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to add to graphics and audio?
Not really.
Well, I'm actually really, really interested to hear your verdict. So let's get to verdict. Mr. Miller, whose voice sounds great this week.
It's better. To bring
it
up.
I know it sounds great though. I'm glad you're doing better. What's your feelings on Space Station Silicon Valley, and where do you put it if you were to rank it?
So Space Station Silicon Valley is, like we said, it's quirky. Mm-hmm. It's got some interesting puzzle mechanics. It's got some fun visuals. There's that dry humor. I don't think it's going to be everybody's cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, like I said, I had so many issues just getting it to run that I didn't get to have like a full run through. Cause I feel like I could have finished this game easily.
Yeah. And that is actually kind of a hurdle. I realized for anybody.
Like if you're not very, very fluent with emulations and like troubleshooting,
or if you have the physical copy,
even if you have the physical copy and don't think about it,
I wonder how much
somebody's review where he was just like an asshole. I bought a second cartridge thinking my cartridge was broken and then ended up having to go and buy the booster, the jumper pack again, because who keeps that? It doesn't do anything.
I wonder how much of that issue affected their sales.
Yeah. You know, well, that's actually a fun point. Found out that, Nintendo only had a marketing budget for 4 games a year.
Oh, I didn't know this.
And Silicon Valley.
Wait, during the 64?
During the 64 era.
Wow.
Every year, only 4 games got money for advertisement. Otherwise, the developer had to front their own bill.
Okay.
And so Silicon Valley was actually supposed to get the money for Q1, but it got delayed and pushed back to Q3. oh, of that year. That's when Ocarina of Time came out.
Oh no!
And so Ocarina of Time got all.
That's the worst case scenario.
Yeah, and it's like,
considered the greatest game of all time.
Of course, Zelda is going to beat you out. So.
Oh no! Like statistically, Ocarina of Time on Metacritic is considered the best game of all time.
And
so this game had all.
It had no.
It
chance.
Was cursed.
It had no chance.
Oh
yeah.
No! And it had problems initially. Uh-huh. Oh gosh. Well, no wonder. You have to think the DMA designs has to feel like, yeah, we got our comeuppance.
I feel like part of them getting dicked down by a Nintendo had to do with the kerfuffle with Body Harvest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was documented.
Yeah.
They were sick of each other at one point.
So that, I think that's also why they got delayed on their release schedule.
Well, probably also why you don't see a shred of anything Grand Theft Auto being on Nintendo.
That's true.
Yeah. So,
except for the Game Boy games.
Oh yeah, they had the. But those are the Chinatown.
There is. You can play GTA 2 on the Game Boy Color, and there is
interesting.
There are the Game Boy Advance games,
but they were never given any love on the main system. So
no, they weren't.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
they were a little too violent for them.
That's true. But they also had Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah. But. That's made by a British developer, or not British, a Japanese developer. So. Yeah,
no, and it's
also one of the best versions of Resident Evil 4.
It's Capcom. So what are you gonna do? Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, back to the review.
Sorry.
That being said, that it's not everybody's cup of tea. I think this is a game that's worth a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I would give it hidden gem status if it was a little more polished. But because it has so many issues, even just trying to emulate it,
right,
makes it a struggle just to play the game.
And that's new.
Yeah.
Other than I think for me, XCOM or XCOM. So I couldn't get it to work.
Also the, and that was with a legit copy.
Yeah. I still own the copy.
Well, and that's the thing is like we said, even if you own the cartridge,
you're going to have problems.
You might have problems
you
with
might.
It.
Yeah. You might have problems.
And so I can't give it a full hidden gem, but I do give it like a high should play.
Okay, so where would you put it for like an S, A, B, C, D?
I'll put it in a B+.
Okay, that's actually pretty high praise. I didn't expect you to give it that high praise. I actually kind of agree, almost want to echo you here. I think the game is worth trying out because if you own a 64 and you haven't played this game, I think it's worth adding to your collection because it is quirky as long as you have the jumper pack.
Yeah,
because it ain't gonna work otherwise. I think there's another revision though, right? Or did they release a ROM revision? They didn't re-release the game.
No, they didn't. Well, and it's funny because
there's an updated ROM.
There are some cartridges don't have that issue. It's like it depends on where the chip was printed or something.
That's one of those things that should be worth money because this game should be worth more than it is. I actually looked it up. It's $25 roughly average. I think it's worth that. I think this game is fun. I had a good time with it. It was one of those games that I kept coming back to wanting to play in our show's history. There was one big problem with this game that kept it from being an A or an S tier. Well, it's not going to be an S tier because like you stated, it is definitely a unique game and it's not a general audience game. It's not your Mario 64.
Yeah.
It's
not your crowd pleaser.
It's not your Ocarina of Time, but it's good. It's a good game. It's well made. But God, I needed checkpoints.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. One of the big hindrances for me, and this is a big part of why I'm giving it pretty much the same.
Yeah, because you have to start the whole level, thing over. Dude. Yeah.
It made me so frustrated. If you die, and there were so many things you had to do in a level to finish it, and I thought, what a setback. I mean, I don't think it would have made the game easier.
This is actually one of the times when I would fully advocate for using save states.
Yes, I would too. Because at least get through half the level because you always feel like you know where the halfway point is.
As soon as you honestly, it should have been built in. They have this problem in Body Harvest too.
I know
where it's like as soon as you
against it,
as soon as you complete an objective, it should save.
It should save it. But perhaps they didn't have the capabilities. This and Body Harvest were pushing the limitations of the console.
Well, the memory card existed.
That is true, but it seems like they were having problems with problems. Just, yeah. So I don't know if they didn't want to like bite more off than they could technically chew.
I wonder if the Rumble Pack worked with any of these games.
I hope. That would have been great. Every time you jump into it, you feel the bzzz.
Yeah.
There's so many things that happen in this game too. I mean, there's like I didn't really go into it, but there's all the different missions and objectives are actually pretty unique. Like you got to wrangle up sheep in one level and use an electric fence to get a headbutt. When you get to the desert level, you have to like, the desert level is like very aerial. It jumps all over the board, and its mechanics are really tight. I like that every vehicle in it feels different. You end up liking something better than other things. Like I was a big fan of like the really fast mouse that you can drift with, you know, or the polar bear that was a tank that went really slow but could just blow the crap out of everything. And I thought it had a big variety. It's a perfect game to introduce maybe even somebody like your son or your nephew or anybody to retro. I think this is a great game to introduce somebody to retro with if they're younger, because it's very accessible age wise. And I give it, I honestly think low A minus, high B plus. It's worth playing. It's weird. It's unique. If I had a 64, which one of these days I'm going to buy a 64 back, I would definitely add this to my collection because I kind of want to try to play it. Obviously with no, with the jumper pack in, but yeah, so that's where it is, man. I think we see eye to eye on this one.
Yeah.
So Space Station Silicon Valley gets a high B praise from us here at Super Garbage Day. Not a garbage game.
Not a garbage game, no.
So it's that time to spin the wheel. Let me tell you, we got some new suggestions. People have been adding their July Patreon games. And I got to tell people are now, I think, going hard in the meme paint.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you just the last couple games people have added. Well, there's some good ones in here. But so far, by the way, if you are a $5 patron at patreon.com/supergarbageday, all one word. Also, the link is in our show notes. You get to put a game every month into this pool that we pull from and do an episode on every week. But the last game, Jill of the Jungle on DOS.
That sounds familiar, actually.
Perfect Weapon on the PS1, which I hear is hot garbage. a game called Eastern Mind, The Lost Souls of Tong Nu. I don't even know. But then you got like Sonic Adventure and Power Stone were put in there, and Typing of the Dead, and Bokutai, The Sun is in Your Hands. I don't know what that is, but so let's see what we're going to play right now. I'm going to give her a spin. Let's go.
Spin that wheel.
Our next game we're playing this week is on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It came out in the 90s, early 90s. It is a sequel to a really popular game, which is a secondary version, upgraded version of an original series that was on the NES. And this game is called Mega Man X2.
Yeah, we did it!
On the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. It happened. Mega Man X2 finally got chosen. Finally happened. Holy moly. I couldn't believe it. If it didn't get chosen, you know, I was like, this game is cursed.
Right.
So
it's going to be that one that has 100 inch. It's got the biggest slice of the pie and it just always
misses it. Always misses it. Yeah. It's finally been chosen. Holy cow. Join us next week for Mega Man X2 on the Super Nintendo. Join me Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard when I'll do my first impressions. I actually never played this one. I beat the hell out of the first one, but I never played X2, so I don't know what I'm in for. I don't know if it's better or worse. Don't ruin it.
I don't know if I have either.
Okay, cool.
But I don't know. I might have played this one and not Mega Man X. So.
I hope this is one of those games that my EverDrive will play, please. Like, don't let it be a weird one where it doesn't, like, God, I was surprised that Chrono Trigger played on it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, because it uses the FX chip.
It does. So does F-Zero,
right,
which was a launch title. So I don't know. All right. That's it, everybody. If you want to join us on our Patreon, like I said before, go to patreon.com/supergarbageday, all one word, or link in the show notes. For $2, you can get access to our, actually only $2, which is quite the deal. You get access to our bonus material, which is two other shows, Backlog Eternal, which is a show where either I or Mr. Miller just review the most recent game we beat, whether it's old or new, just trying to clear our backlogs. And Retro Deep Cuts, which is kind of a fun show where we just have discussions on old games. Could be top 10s, could be loud. My most recent one was I did a buyer's guide for NES. If you wanted to start.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you wanted to start collecting NES, I actually showed you the cheapest way to get the highest value.
Okay.
In a sense of like, if you had $100, you can get a system and 5 to 7 games that are solid for under $100. I think it was a really fun episode to make.
And that's cool.
Might be doing another one in the future for a different console. So Other than that, thank you. I am B. Ross. This is
Mr. Miller.
And we will see you next week. Mega men and women. All right.
Mega people.
Cut to B.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.